Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson. And each week, I'm joined by young readers from our community who love to talk about books and bookish things. This week, we couldn't get together, so instead of sharing books that we've recently read, I'll be sharing some information about the recently awarded Youth Media Awards from the American Library Association to share some exciting books that maybe you'll want to check out in the coming year. So the American Library Association earlier this week announced the top books, digital media, video, and audio books for children and young adults, including the Caldecott, the Coretta Scott King Awards, Newbery Prince Awards. This was at their LibLearnX, the library learning experience that was held January 24th to 27th out in Phoenix, Arizona. So these are, most of these awards are annual awards. There's some biannual awards. And so I'm not going to share every single award winner and honoree because that would take a long time, but I wanted to share a handful of them. So first off, the John Newbery Medal, which is for the most outstanding contribution to children's literature, was awarded to The First State of Being, written by Erin Entrada Kelly. And this was a book I read, I think, this fall and really enjoyed. And this is one of the biggest awards of the year. It's usually given to middle grade novels or graphic novels. Like very occasionally, a picture book might win. But these are all middle grade novels this year. So I'll read you the descriptions for these, since these are really the books that we most often talk about on the radio. The age range is a good fit for our listeners. So this is The First State of Being by Erin Entrada Kelly. It's August 1999. For 12-year-old Michael Rosario, life at Fox Run Apartments in Red Knot, Delaware is as ordinary as ever, except for the looming Y2K crisis and his overwhelming crush on his 16-year-old babysitter, Gibby. But when a disoriented teenage boy named Ridge appears out of nowhere, Michael discovers there is more to life than stockpiling supplies and pining over Gibby. It turns out that Ridge is carefree, confident, and bold, things Michael wishes he could be. Unlike Michael, however, Ridge isn't where he belongs. When Ridge reveals that he is the world's first time traveler, Michael and Gibby are stunned but curious. As Ridge immerses himself in 1999, fascinated by microwaves, basketballs, and malls, Michael discovers that his new friend has a book that outlines the events of the next 20 years, and his curiosity morphs into something else, focused determination. Michael wants, no, needs, to get his hands on that book. How else can he prepare for the future? But how far is he willing to go to get it? A story of time travel, friendship, found family, and first loves, this thematically rich novel is distinguished by its voice, character development, setting, and exploration of the issues that resonate with middle grade readers. And this was just a great book. I listened to the audiobook for this and really enjoyed it. I think it feels like contemporary realistic fiction, but then has this time travel element, but also is technically historical fiction because it's set in 1999. So I think it has a lot of different things that would appeal to young readers and also to adult readers like myself. So definitely suggest checking out the John Newbery Medal winning book, The First State of Being by Erin Entrada Kelly. And then there were 4 Newbery Honor books that were named, and none of these I have read yet. They all sound great. So I'm going to read the description for these, but I don't have much to say about them because I haven't read them yet. So first up, Across So Many Seas, written by Ruth Behar. In 1492, during the Spanish Inquisition, Benvenida and her family are banished from Spain for being Jewish and must flee the country or be killed. They journey by foot and by sea, eventually settling in Istanbul. Over 4 centuries later, in 1923, shortly after the Turkish War of Independence, Reina's father disowns her for a small act of disobedience. He ships her away to live with an aunt in Cuba to be wed in an arranged marriage when she turns 15. In 1961, Reina's daughter, Allegra, is proud to be a brigadista, teaching literacy in the countryside for Fidel Castro. But soon, Castro's crackdowns force her to flee to Miami all alone, leaving her parents behind. Finally, in 2003, Allegra's daughter, Paloma, is fascinated by all the journeys that had to happen before she could be born. A keeper of memories, she's thrilled by the opportunity to learn more about her heritage on a family trip to Spain, where she makes a momentous discovery. Though many years and many seas separate these girls, they are united by a love of music and poetry, a desire to belong and to matter, a passion for learning, and their longing for a home where all are welcome and each is lucky to stand on the shoulders of their courageous ancestors. That sounds very interesting. Some historical fiction, family, culture, challenges, immigration. I've heard good things about Ruth Behar, but I've never actually read her book, so perhaps this will be my first one. Sounds really good. And then next up, we have Magnolia Wu Unfolds It All, written and illustrated by Chanel Miller. It's not a graphic novel. It's a novel with pictures in it. But here's the description. Down at the bottom of the tall buildings of New York City, Magnolia Wu sits inside her parents' laundromat. She has pinned every lost sock from the laundromat onto a bulletin board in hopes that customers will return to retrieve them. But no one seems to have noticed. In fact, barely anyone has noticed Magnolia at all. What she doesn't know is that this is about to be her most exciting summer yet. When Iris, a new friend from California, arrives, they set off across the city to solve the mystery of each missing sock, asking questions in subways and delis and plant stores and pizzerias, meeting people and uncovering the unimaginable. With each new encounter, Magnolia learns that when you're bold enough to head into the unknown, things start falling into place. It sounds fun and funny and light from the description and some of the reviews I've read. So excited to check that one out too. And next we have a book by a somewhat local author, a Hudson Valley-based author from just south of us in Dutchess County. We have One Big Open Sky by Lisa Klein Ransom, who some of our listeners who have been to the Hudson Children's Book Festival may have met in previous years. She and her husband, James Ransom, who's also an author and illustrator, come to the book festival frequently. But this one is One Big Open Sky, and here's the description. 1879, Mississippi. Young dreamer Letty may have her head in the stars, but her body is on a covered wagon headed westward. Her father, Thomas, promises that Nebraska will be everything the family needs. An opportunity to claim the independence they've strived for over generations on their very own plot of land. But Thomas's hopes and mouth are bigger than his ability to follow through. With few supplies and even less money, the only thing that feels certain is danger. Right after the war ended and we were free, we believed, all of us did, that couldn't nothing hurt us, the way Master had when we were slaves. Couldn't no one tell us how to live, how to die. Letty, her mother Sylvia, and young teacher Philomena are free from slavery but bound by poverty, access to opportunity, and patriarchal social structures. Will these women survive the hardships of their journey? And as Thomas's desire for control overpowers his common sense, will they truly be free once they get there? Coretta Scott King, honor-winning author Lisa Klein Ransom's striking verse masterfully portrays an underrepresented historical era. Tackling powerful themes of autonomy and Black self-emancipation, Klein Ransom offers readers an intimate look into the lives of three women and an expansive portrait of generations striving for their promised freedom. Sounds great. Love novel and verse. Love work by Lisa Klein Ransom. I have not read everything that she has written, but I have enjoyed everything that I have read that she has written, and I've read a lot of her books. She has both chapter books as well as picture books, often historical fiction, some biographies as well. She's an excellent writer. Definitely encourage people to check her out. And lastly, we have The Wrong Way Home, written by Kate O'Shaughnessy. Ferns lived at the ranch, an off-the-grid sustainable community in upstate New York, since she was six. The work is hard, but Fern admires the ranch's leader, Dr. Ben. So when Fern's mother sneaks them away in the middle of the night and says Dr. Ben is dangerous, Fern doesn't believe it. She wants desperately to go back, but her mom just keeps driving. Suddenly thrust into the treacherous, toxic outside world, Fern thinks only about how to get home again. She has a plan, but it will take time. As that time goes by, though, Fern realizes there are things she will miss from this place. The library, a friend from school, the ocean. And there are things she learned at the ranch that are just not true. Now Fern will have to decide, how much is she willing to give up to return to the ranch? Should she trust Dr. Ben's vision for her life? Or listen to the growing feeling that she can live by her own rules? Sounds interesting and very different, probably something that a lot of young readers haven't read about, this type of experience. So I think it'll be an interesting read, and I've heard really great reviews about it. So we'll definitely check that one out too. So those were the four honor books and the award winner for the Newbery Medal. Sounds like a great reading list to me. Look forward to reading those this coming year. So I'll share some other award winners from this year's award ceremony. The Randolph Caldecott Medal is another one of their biggest awards. It is awarded to the most distinguished American picture book for children. And this year's award winner was Chooch Helped, which is illustrated by Rebecca Lee Coombs and written by Andrea L. Rogers. There were four Caldecott honor books that were also named Home in a Lunchbox, illustrated and written by Cherry Moe. My Daddy is a Cowboy, illustrated by C.G. Esperanza and written by Stephanie Seals. And Stephanie Seals is a local author. Noodles on a Bicycle, illustrated by Gracie Zhang, written by Gil McClure. And Up, Up, Ever Up, Junko Tabe, A Life in the Mountains, illustrated by Yuko Shimizu, written by Anita Yasuda. And I've read and loved all of those, except I haven't read Up, Up, Ever Up yet. So I have that one on hold at the library right now. I want to read it as soon as possible. But I loved the other honor books and the winner. So definitely excited those were honored. Then there's the Coretta Scott King Book Awards, recognizing an African-American author and illustrator of outstanding books for children and young adults. So we have 24 Seconds From Now, written by Jason Reynolds, was the King author book winner. My Daddy is a Cowboy, illustrated by C.G. Esperanza, is the King illustrator book winner. And that's the book that was written by Stephanie Seals, who's a local author. And there are also honor books for this awards, but I don't have time to list all of the award winners on the show. So I'm just listing the winners of that one. The Michael L. Prince Award for Excellence in Young Adult Literature went to Brownstone, which is written by Samuel Teer and illustrated by Mara Julia. It's a graphic novel for teens. And that one had been on my to-read list. I borrowed it and I didn't get to read it. And so I've now borrowed it again, and I'll read it this time. So I'll report back on that one on a future show. Let's see, the Schneider Family Book Award for books that embody an artistic expression of the disability experience. There were three winners and some honors for that as well. So A Little Like Magic, written and illustrated by Sarah Kirpiel, won the award in the younger children's category for ages 0 to 8. Popcorn, written and illustrated by Rob Harrell, is the winner in the middle grade category. That's for ages 9 to 13. And Chronically Dolores, written by Maya Van Wagenen, is the winner in the young adult category. And I haven't read any of those, I don't think. I may have read A Little Like Magic, but I'll have to check and make sure if I'm remembering the correct book. One of the awards that I really love is the Mildred L. Batchelder Award, and that's for an outstanding children's book originally published in a language other than English in a country other than the United States and subsequently translated into English for publication in the U.S. I feel like the translated books are always a little quirky, I find. Maybe not always, but frequently there's like something a little different about them. And this year's is no exception to that. There was a book called John the Skeleton, which is the winner. It was originally published in Estonia as Luker Juhani Jutmisid, something like that. I don't know Estonian. And the book was written by Trinu Lan, illustrated by Maria Lisa Platz, and translated by Adam Cullen. It's the story of a skeleton, a retired classroom skeleton, who gets adopted by Grams and Gramps and the family. And so it's about their relationships with one another. It's very sweet and funny and interesting and quirky. So definitely suggest that one to listeners out there. And next up, we have the Pura Belpre Awards, honoring Latino writers and illustrators whose children's and young adult books best portray, affirm, and celebrate the Latino cultural experience. The Illustration Award winner was The Dreamcatcher, illustrated by Marcelo Verdad. And it was also written by Marcelo Verdad. That one I had actually never read. There wasn't any library in the system that had the book. So I recently purchased it for the library and we'll be checking that one out. The Author Award winner is for Lola, written by Carla Arenas Valenti. And the Pura Belpre Young Adult Author Award winner, so for young adult audiences, is Shut Up, This Is Serious, written by Carolina Ixta. There's also the Robert F. Siebert Informational Book Award, which is awarded to the most distinguished informational book for children. And this year's winner is Life After Whale, The Amazing Ecosystem of a Whale Fall, written by Lynn Brunel and illustrated by Jason Chin. And that book was fabulous. Loved it. Talked about it on the radio before. The illustrations are beautiful, as I would expect from Jason Chin. But it was just a very interesting topic that I had never learned about, never thought about, which is basically like, what happens when a whale dies? What impact does a death of a ginormous creature in the ocean have on that ecosystem and life in the ocean? So it's really fascinating to read. Would highly suggest that to both young readers and older. And The Enigma Girls, which I talked about on the radio last week that I just read, was a Siebert Honor book. So that was exciting. There were other honors as well, but again, I'm not going to share them all. And we have the Stonewall Book Awards, which are also known as the Mike Morgan and Larry Romans Children's and Young Adult Literature Award, which is given annually to English language works of exceptional merit for children or teens relating to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender experience. And the winner for that was Lunar Boy, written and illustrated by Jess and Sin Wibobo, which I read and talked about on the radio sometime this past year and really enjoyed. Then we have the Stonewall Young Adult Literature Award, which went to Canto Contigo, written by Johnny Garza Villa, which I haven't heard much about this one, so I'll have to check that one out as well. The Theodore Seuss Geisel Award for the Most Distinguished Beginning Reader Book went to Vacation by Aim Dykeman and illustrated Mark Teague, who's also a local illustrator, so congrats to him. He has also attended the Hudson Children's Book Festival on many occasions, so our listeners may have met him in prior years. And then there's the Asian Pacific American Awards for Literature. These awards promote Asian Pacific American culture and heritage, and it's based on literary and artistic merit. There's three youth categories for this one. So the picture book winner is Aloha Everything, written by Kaylin Malia George and illustrated by Mae White. It's a beautiful book. The children's literature title is Continental Drifter, written and illustrated by Kathy McLeod. And that was also a great book. It's a graphic novel that I read last year, and I believe I talked about it on the radio as well. And then the young adult literature winner I haven't read yet, but it's Everything We Never Had, written by Randy Ribbe. And the last award category that I will mention on the show today is the Sydney Taylor Book Award, which is presented annually to outstanding books for children and teens that authentically portray the Jewish experience. And there were three gold medalists. So for the picture book category, An Etrog from Across the Sea, written by Deborah Bowden Cohen and Carrie Olitsky, illustrated by Stacey Dressen McQueen. I still need to check this one out. As well as the middle grade book has been on my list for a while, which is The Girl Who Sang, a Holocaust memoir of hope and survival, written by Estelle Nadel and Sammy Savos with Bethany Strout and illustrated by Sammy. That's a graphic novel. And was also honored in a couple of categories, I believe. Definitely in the Siebert received an honor. And then the young adult winner for the gold medal for the Sydney Taylor Book Award is Night Owls, written by A.R. Vishnee, which I had not heard of before this award, but it's a paranormal romance steeped in folklore, so sounds interesting. But yeah, so these are a whole bunch of acclaimed books from this year. You can find the full list for the awards, both the winners and the honors online. If you search for Youth Media Awards, American Library Association, you'll be able to get a full list of all of those. But if any of those sound interesting, you can check them out from your local library, find them at a local bookstore or wherever you get your books. But if you read any, let us know and tell us what you think. But on that note, we're going to say goodbye for the day. We hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then, happy reading.
Three.